We're going to do the scripture lesson now. Today is Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. And the subheading in my Bible is Jesus Appears to His Disciples. The 11 disciples went to the hill in Galilee where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, even though some of them doubted. Jesus drew near and said to them, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then to all the people everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I will be with you always to the end of the age." Amen.
Our sermon lesson today comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Final greetings. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind and live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Here endeth the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Would you bow your heads now and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scripture, and now to share my testimony. Amen. As we begin this scripture today from 2 Corinthians, and we've heard the scripture that Jim read about making disciples, and that we heard before Jesus went back, he commissioned us to make disciples to all nations. And he says these words, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." You know, today we not only celebrate Father's Day, but in the church all around the world, different denominations celebrate this Sunday as what we call Trinity Sunday. A Sunday when we remember that God comes to us in three unique forms, but one person, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the Trinity is not an easy thing to understand. I remember growing up that I was always told that it's a mystery how we have a God that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's still something to this day that many people in the church and even outside of the church can't get their heads around. But it is a beautiful thing if you think of the way we can encounter God as our Father, as the Son of God, and as a presence of the Holy Spirit. And so today I open the service with this passage from 2 Corinthians every time we worship here. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And I couldn't help but think about that I say in church as we gather after the opening hymn, and I greet you with that greeting that Paul used in 2 Corinthians. Actually, this has been used as an invocation. It's been used as a benediction. But Paul says these words as he is leaving that church or addressing the church. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You know, that's one of those prayers sometimes we just say automatically. But today, as we look at the Trinity, I want to explore the richness that Paul talks about when he says this to that church in Corinth. I want to talk about the richness that it brings to our lives today. And so let's spend a few moments doing that. As we begin, we have that first opening, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those of you that went to any type of a catechism or Sunday school, when the Trinity starts, it's usually in the name of the Father. But in Paul's scripture, we get this moved around. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is the first person of that Trinity that he points out. And sometimes I think it is as it should be. Because what Jesus Christ does for us and his love, life, what it did for us, it opens ourselves to the nature of God. You know, I once had a person that was new to Christianity say, I wanted to read the Bible so bad, and I started in the Old Testament, and by the time I got to the middle of the Old Testament, I was terrified. The Old Testament is not a good place to start, because sometimes God was awesome, but yet sometimes God was a refiner with fire. Sometimes God had let destruction come upon his people. Plagues, floods. It was interesting. Even what he said to me, he says, I don't understand why Moses couldn't stay there and look at the face of God. But yet, in this Trinity and in this blessing, when we talk about Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ brings God to us in the right picture. Because we see the true nature of God the Father as we see Jesus staggering down the way of the cross. If we think of God the Father who gave his only Son for our salvation. God comes to earth through Jesus Christ for us to know in life joys and life sorrows. You know, and when we know Jesus Christ, we know that God the Father loved the world so much that he gave his only Son that we might be saved. Now, in that, I want to look especially at that word grace, God's grace. And that's something we can never, ever stop understanding because it's a gift God gives to us. There's a story during World War II of two soldiers who had come home, and one of their fellow army men were killed in active duty. And so they were home, and they were going to bury their friend. And in this local little village, the only cemetery was there was the Catholic cemetery. And so the two soldiers went to the priest at the Catholic cemetery and asked him if their beloved friend, companion, could be buried in that cemetery. And the priest said at that time, well, we can't bury him inside the fence of the cemetery because he is Protestant. And we only bury Catholics inside the cemetery. The next day, when they came to lay their compatriot to rest, the grave was inside the cemetery. You see, that night, that priest felt the twinging of God, and he and his custodian at that time moved the fence so that grave could be inside the cemetery. When you talk about the grace of God, God moves the fence so no matter what state we are in, no matter what religion we are, Catholic, Protestant, that we are inside the fence. He takes us in the time of our sin and uses his grace, and he moves the fence so the fence is around us and we're inside. And that's what the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ does. You know, the grace of God sometimes will never make our dreams come true, but it allows us to look life in the face, and everything that seems wrong, we know that in the providence of God that he will turn it around to make it right. Everything that we think is wrong or we can't see the possibility of, if we have faith in the grace of God, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Now let's go on and let's talk about now the love of God. And that's the other thing that we have with the love of God, the love of God the Father. You know, in the Greek, there are three different types of love. Eros, which is the passionate love. Philia, which is the love of a friend. But Paul uses in the Greek the word agape, which means selfless love. And so when he leaves this church and he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, he means the selfless love of God. That means that God even will do things to the extreme to show us how much he loves and cares for us. Not like our love. We kind of get love confused. You know, I remember when my daughter was, I don't know, maybe second grade, third grade, and do you remember when kids would get that age and all of a sudden they start to, you think they're over tantrums and they start to throw tantrums? And I'll never forget Marietta being mad at me because I had to come down on her, and I forget what it was because I was always coming down on somebody because those two were 18 months apart, but they were like holy terrors sometimes. Two of them together. And I'll never forget her going up to her room and hearing noise banging in her room and wondering, what's going on? And, you know, you're down at the bottom of the steps and you're thinking, okay, I'm just going to let this happen. Then all of a sudden, things went silent. And all of a sudden, a note comes flying down the stairs in the form of an airplane. And it says, Dad, how do you spell hate? So I did it, and I flung the, and at the bottom of the steps, upstairs, flings it up there, hits her door. Real quickly, she opens it. All of a sudden, here comes another one. Dad, how do you spell love? And I sent it back up to her, L-O-V-E. I think at that time she was spelling love, L-U-V. You know how we get confused with our spelling when you're young. And a little bit later then, I get this other airplane that comes at the bottom of the steps. It says, Dear Dad, I hate you, love, Marietta. You know, as adults, we're more sophisticated in our communication. But sometimes aren't our messages about love messed up? Aren't there times where our love falters and we judge and we give our love maybe in ways that are not selfless? But the love of God is that. It's selfless. It's constant as a heartbeat. And by the selfless love of God, we can simply be ourselves, flawed, but fortunate creatures that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, and that God takes us in our state and loves us with a selfless love. And finally today, the third blessing that we receive from this is the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Now, last Sunday, we celebrated Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about how important that was, that the disciples who stayed together then were able to speak in different languages and go out and make disciples to all the world. But this idea of the communion of the Holy Spirit, sometimes you'll hear it in church, they'll say the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Today I'm using kind of a Catholic word, the communion of the Holy Spirit. It's a richer word, and it's actually a better translation of the Greek. But communion means union with. And you see, when we commune, when we gather with each other, when we allow our hearts to touch other hearts, our souls to reach out to other souls, there is a beautiful experience that happens. Beautiful experience. You know, as we're told during the announcement today, last Sunday I put the pitch out for paper products because I was talking about so many people who don't have those basic necessities. And as we're going out of church, I had a visitor here. Gave me $50 and said, I want you to buy those paper products that those folks need. And look what happened just a week later. If you look in the kitchen there, paper products all over the place. You see, when we come together, when we allow our heart to touch other hearts, our souls to touch other souls, it's a beautiful experience, and God's love and care is multiplied. You know, it's interesting because when Paul was saying this goodbye to the Corinthian congregation, they weren't perfect people by any chance. You see, the place in Corinth was really a worldly place. A lot of sailors would stop in Corinth on their leave. And of course, Corinth had its share of prostitutes and pickpockets and philanthropers. Corinth was racked with controversy. Yet these flawed people, Paul blesses, and he blesses them with the communion of the Holy Spirit. Only through fellowship with each other, in the experience, we fellowship with God. And if we're to commune with God, we're supposed to break bread together with one another. We're supposed to listen to one another's joys in our sorrows and allow the Holy Spirit to circulate free and in us. And as we do this, we see things that we've never seen before. We see God tangibly, even though we don't see His face, we see His work manifest, and we see people's lives changed. And so today, as we come to a conclusion about these three aspects of God, the grace, the love of God, the communion, we remember Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what is such a mystery is such a beauty to me, because we can encounter God in so many ways. And let's never forget the love of the Father. Jesus Christ, who bought our salvation. And the Holy Spirit then, who was sent to us and is sent to us as we go on and make disciples. You know, it's interesting because usually the Trinity is depicted with some type of a triangle. But I kind of like this image of circles. And whether it is the grace of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the communion of saints, those are all ways that when we enter that circle, we are there forever. And we constantly keep touching God in some way, and God touches out to us. And as we go forth this week, I ask you to remember this verse that we said today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Remember that fence being moved, that by God's grace, we're in the fold. Remember the selfless love, not the human love that we have, but that selfless love that God gave to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And lastly, the gift that He gives us every Sunday throughout the week, wherever we are, to commune, to fellowship with other Christians, that we might be blessed and others might bless us. I pray that as you go forth today on this special day, that you'll keep this Christian blessing in your minds and in your hearts. Three words of blessing: grace, love, communion. Three words of blessing: the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads. God, You are so good. Lord, You come to us in so many different forms. A Father is the Son, Jesus Christ, and is the Holy Spirit. And God, I ask that You, at this time now, would fill this room with Your presence. Father, I ask that You would stir and work in hearts this morning, that we too may realize the blessing that You give us. Father, we let all our anxiety out, all our fears, and ask that your Holy Spirit would feed us. And most of all, Father, we thank you for the love that you have given us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of his most holy Spirit. Amen.